Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. On today's show is tribute artist Johnny Malika, whose passion is to entertain. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Okay, everybody. So I would like to welcome to the show today, Johnny Malika, aka Elvis, but he is a tribute artist who does other personalities. Now, Johnny, you know, we usually start the show with a quote of some kind that you can connect to. Do you have one you'd like to share with the listeners?
Yes, I sure do, Lynette. The quote I have for the day is, our greatest weakness lies in giving up. The most certain way to succeed is always to try just one more time. And this quote was written by Thomas A. Edison. The way I connected to this quote was, I did fall into that category of giving up, thinking I wasn't good enough at times, thinking that how am I going to work around these obstacles to get what I really wanted to do? So as I kept going through the cycle of gaining momentum, experience, I kept looking at these words, and it did help me. And most of the help came through the years of actually getting my feet out there and doing it. But this is experience.
Do me a favor. Can you explain your passion for us and how it started and how it grew?
As long as I can remember, I was, when I started remembering, I was around 5 years old. And I would remember my dad, my father, Thomas, and he played bass. And his brothers were also musicians. So I remember growing up as seeing them playing in the basement or in the garage, and I would just watch them, and I'd say, wow. I mean, to myself, I'm thinking, you know, music, I'm dancing, I'm liking what I'm hearing. And it gave me the momentum to want to do that. So as I got older, I remember my dad later on in life showing me records that they had made back in the 50s. And the band that they were in was called The Honorables, and it was from in the 50s. And then they had a chance to perform on Dick Clark. And it was my father, Thomas, his brother Richie, who played saxophone, another brother Nicky, which played guitar, and my Aunt Josie, which was a singer. And they all had sung. And I remember hearing them, you know, singing. And when they made the record, on the record, I heard the harmonies and the singing. And my Aunt Jo, when they would do like little, she would do like a voice over the top as a gimmick, like a gimmick voice for the song. The song was called How's About a Date? And I'll never forget her saying, well, okay, because the song would go, how's about a date tonight? You know, something like that. And I remember clearly, and I still have that record. It's an acetate, and it's sort of like a metal record. But these are things that I have in my possession.
Those are some great memories.
Oh, they're fantastic memories. And, you know, if it wasn't for my family, I'm not sure if I'd even be involved in music today. But it's from that age, you know, growing up and seeing this is where I wanted to get into that type of atmosphere.
So what did you do from there then? How did you build something for yourself?
Okay, so after I grew up, the first band I was ever with, and at the same time, I was learning how to play drums. As I was, you know, I started singing to the records and started playing drums. And I remember, I guess I was about nine, and everybody was tired of hearing me hitting pots and pans in the house. You know, the Italian family, we just hit pots and pans, and I would just learn and keep a beat. And I think it was about 9 years old, my dad decided, well, I guess that's what he wants to do. I better get him his first drum. So I remember my first drum was a snare drum. And God bless you, Pop, because it wasn't for that. And I did. I learned. I came home. Most of my schoolmates, they weren't involved in sports. I never did sports in school. I was the one that ran home after school, put my headphones on, sat in my basement, and played the drums and learned. And, you know, as growing up, you know, people were like, well, you don't want to play sports. And I never did. I really didn't. And today, you know, I'll watch the Super Bowl once in a while, but it's all music for me.
How did you get from kid in a band to being a tribute artist?
Okay. So as the time went on, I guess I was 12 or 13 and my first band came along, and I was good enough to play in that band from North Arlington, New Jersey, called Flesh. And we used to do Donny Osmond and Michael Jackson and Tom Jones, because the singer in the band, he was, I believe, 13. I was around 12, and he was a Tom Jones impersonator working in Atlantic City on the Steel Pier. For those listeners who remember the Steel Pier, his parents were pushing him in that direction, so he was down there in Atlantic City. So I was doing the Donny Osmonds and the Michael Jackson, and we were winning trophies after trophies in high schools at young kids, you know, at our age. And I remember one story that never left my mind was the song Puppy Love, if you ever heard it. I'm sure you did.
Of course.
We're on the stage, and I'm playing drums, and the auditorium is packed with little girls and both guys and kids, you know. And we're doing the song, and I'm just about, and I'm singing and playing at the same time, by the way. And just as, and I don't know, it was a coincidence, but when the part came up to where I would sing, "Someone help me, help me," I dropped my stick. And I had to pick it up, and I bent down, and while still singing that part, "Help me, help me," I guess the judges put that all together, and we took first prize that moment. So that was pretty interesting at that point.
But Johnny, so would you say it was that point that you thought to yourself, this is something I can see myself doing long term?
Yes, I must be good at this. Yeah, entertainment was, you know, the crowds, the people, it was just, I knew that was for me at that point, and even before that point, but that did give me a big push in the direction. Being, you know, you get a trophy for something, whether it wasn't that mistake I made on stage or just getting a trophy for being good enough to get a trophy in anything. And yes, that's what started me going.
So which artists have you imitated?
Okay. I do, in my show, I do a little Michael Bublé. I do a little Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. And I do a little Frank Sinatra. But my main, you know, that's before I come out as Elvis. You know, I'll get to warm up, you know, to warm up the crowd. And I'll come out and do those songs. And then I'll go get changed and I'll come out and do my show.
If you're looking for trouble, you came to the right place. If you're looking for trouble, just look right in my face. I was born standing up and talking back. My daddy was a green-eyed mountain jack, because I'm evil. My middle name is Misery.
Wow. So when you do a show, you do multiple artists then. You're not just doing Elvis.
Right. Pre-Elvis, yeah. Like we do a two-hour DJ and then a two-hour show. So while we're doing the DJing, I'll mingle with the crowd, get to feel them out, start singing some of the other artists that I just mentioned. And it sort of warms everybody up, and it gets me feeling good with the crowd before I come out and do the main show. Right. So, yeah, that's how that works.
That's pretty neat. So let me ask you this. you went from, you know, being a young child who got a snare drum, and then you got into a band, and then you started impersonating it and doing these tribute acts. Did you have a point during that journey? Because how long now have you been doing these shows?
My show for the Elvis part has been approximately 10 years, and I did stop for quite some time, and that was that was the portion of my life where I really didn't have a choice to stop, because I was starting to get uncomfortable with my appearance on stage. I had gained some weight, and I just wasn't happy. So one of my shows, I did make the announcement that I was going to retire. So I did retire, and I came back, and everything seemed to be okay. And then I started to move, and, you know, all my crowd is up north, and I'm down here now. So it's like starting over, basically, down here. I mean, I can only give people what I do if they give me the chance to show them what I can do. We're up north. I built up that reputation. And most people, you know, they'll come down and see the show, but you're not going to get everybody coming every show.
Right.
So, it's basically starting over down here.
And when you say down here, you mean that you moved from North Jersey to the Jersey Shore?
Correct. I moved from Clifton, New Jersey to Forked River, New Jersey.
Right. Okay. So,
and I moved here 2 years ago.
Right. Okay. So, you know, usually one of the questions that I ask my guests is, did you have any challenges or hangups along the way? And you just said it. You said, you know,
that was my challenge, my hangup. Yeah.
Yeah. And so relatable to so many other people. But the thing is, you know, well, you know, I had a karaoke show for 13 years,
right.
and I moved on to become a teacher and all of those things. But one of the things that was in my mind was I was in my 30s now, and I was getting older, and I was, you know, gained a few pounds. I totally understand that, you know, you feel awkward standing in front of everybody at that point. But for you, come on, Elvis gained a few pounds.
Yes, I understand. I personally wasn't comfortable with my appearance. You know, I mean, there are a lot of entertainers out there. There are a lot of Elvis impersonators out there. And yes, there are big, small, but I wanted to get back to that thinner looking, I guess it was a hang up within myself, you know, whether people mind it so much, I'm not sure. I don't believe so, but personally, and that was my hang up, and that actually stopped me. That stopped me for a couple of years. And, you know, now it's time to get back. And, you know, I'm working on my show now for down here, and it's going to be bigger and better than ever.
So,
I've added a lot more to it.
So what do you think that you learned about yourself during this process?
The process, what I've learned, you know, don't give up. Take your weaknesses and your strong points and compare the two and slowly get rid of your weaknesses. Now, that could be whether you're a nervous person about getting in front of people, or that can be, am I going to do the right thing? Am I going to forget lyrics? Am I going to forget cues? You know, these are all, you know, you work at it. You have to work at it. It's a matter of practicing. Just determination, you know, this is your dream. Go for it. I mean, if you fail, okay, but you can attack it again. And there'll be a time when you won't fail anymore. And that's what happened to me. I, you know, it was tough getting it together. But if you don't give up, which goes back to the quote of the day, you're going to succeed. If you truly have that passion in you to do it, you're going to do it. And nothing's going to stop you as long as you don't allow it to.
Right. You know, our audience is all different age levels. And what I love about what you're saying is that you started at a young age and you did it into middle age and you took a break and then you came back a little later in life. And I know from having my karaoke business, we had one person who, a singer, a friend, a guest who had come to our shows, and he ended up going on the road as Harry Connick Jr. And he was in his 20s, but we also had somebody who is in his 50s who ended up doing Elvis shows.
Right. I understand. I'm 52 years old, and you know, age really has nothing to do with it. It's just a matter of how you present it and have a good time with it. I mean, it's all about having a good time as well. I mean, it can't be all work. You have to enjoy it. And I enjoy everything I do with it.
Now, for each episode, I actually write a blog entry that's inspired by the guest of the day. And we actually today aired Mickey Zeta. Today is the day I'm interviewing you today, but today is the day Mickey Zeta's show aired. And okay. I don't know if you listened to it yet, but she has a podcast called The Second 53 Years. And the blog that I wrote that accompanies her episode was, I titled it something about being hot as hell in your 50s. Why being in your 50s is hot as hell. And, you know, I think being in your 50s, and I say in that blog, I'm not somebody who says, oh, 40s, the new 20s. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there's some amazing things about being in your 50s. And one of those things is the fact that you don't care what people think anymore, that you finally got to a point in your life where you don't want, it's as if, you know, there's only so much time left to do what you really enjoy. And you just don't care what other people think about it anymore.
Correct. And that's how I feel. You know, I'm, as far as where am I going with it, like you just said, it's come to a point where this is what I'm doing. I have a full-time job. You know, I travel. I go back up north for work. I work, you know, in Mahwah, New Jersey, and I'm busy. And when I come home and I practice and I get ready for shows, you know, that's my enjoyment, you know, and my family, of course. But I'm at an age where who cares? Just I'm having fun. And the main thing that I feel, I'm making people in the audience feel good. And I'm taking those people back into an era, which a lot of my fans and my audiences are between the ages of 20s to 70 to 80. And if I could see a smile on one person's face out there, that I brought you back into a year, 1973 is where I go with the show. And the music is right, the talk is right, the walk is right, and the sound is right. Their faces light up.
But when a dream is calling you, there's just one thing that you can do. Well, you gotta follow that dream wherever that dream may lead. You gotta follow that dream.
Lynette, I cannot tell you how many times people just look at me and they go back into that era, and it almost makes me feel that they're really looking at Elvis, and I'm like, I'm only Johnny, you know, because I'm getting numbers thrown in my jumpsuit. I mean, my wife's pulling numbers out of my jumpsuit. I'm Johnny. I'm just me, but it's the way I present it, Lynette.
No, I get
take
it.
Take them into it. You understand that?
No,
it's the
I
way
do
you
get
present
it.
Yourself.
I get it because my first record, one Christmas, I got two records at the same time. One was Michael Jackson and one was Elvis. Okay. It was a blue cover and he was in white. That's all I remember. And I love Elvis. And matter of fact, very first episode, Mandy Bean, the writer, was the first episode. She is also a huge Elvis fan. So when you do your show, you let me know. And Mandy and I
will absolutely.
Mandy and I will be front row.
I would love for you to be there, and I will make sure that you are there.
Now, can you?
Yes.
Can you tell me? Okay. Did you get any advice from anybody else along the way that's been beneficial to you?
Yeah, I did. I got advice from some band members, and you know, through my years, I also played with some big act bands. I mean, as I got older, I was in my 20s, 22, 23, I believe. I was with the Crest, the Marvelettes, and the Drifters. Now, as everyone knows, later in years, there was always one that was an original. You know, like from the Crest, Johnny Maestro had left. J.T. Carter was an original Crest, so he can take the name. And I was playing drums for them. And Marvelettes, same thing. One of the girls was original, so she took the name. And Charlie Thomas from the Drifters was an original, so he took the name. And I went on tour with these guys, and I was playing drums, not singing, just playing drums. And that was another boost, because at that point, I'm sitting behind, and you know, the ones up front with the singers, they're getting all the nostalgia. And I said, boy, you know, I want to be up front. And that, too, pushed me to be up front.
Now, how'd you meet your wife?
I met my wife in Clifton. I was working... Wow, this is a good one. I was working for a restaurant and bar supply back, I guess I was around 25, 26. And my wife's mom had just passed, and a year prior to me coming into her life, she volunteered at the Boys and Girls Club in the kitchen. And I walked in one day with a pizza oven for the Boys and Girls Club, and there was five ladies in the kitchen, and I was like, who's wearing the opium?
you knew her scent.
And there was four other ladies there, and I was hoping it wasn't them. And sure enough, she said, no, I am. And it started from there. I asked her, you know, if maybe we can go out sometime. And yeah, and it took off from there. And I'm married 23 years right now.
That's great. I'm not going to ask you how you knew the scent of opium, though, and who else wore it. I don't want to know the answer to that one.
I think you already know.
All right. So let me ask you this. I always ask our guests if they have a book that they can recommend to our audience, something that they could look into to move in this direction.
I sure do, Lynette. The book that I really, really enjoyed was The Power of Positive Thinking, which takes you back. And all you listeners out there, this is a very good book. It gives you motivational thinking, the positive side to thinking. It's written by Norman Vincent Peals. And the book is written to suggest techniques and gives examples how to demonstrate and not to be defeated by anything. And that you have peace of mind, improved health, and you know, the flow of energy within yourself while learning to do different things, and your life can be full of joy and satisfaction. It's a very good book. If you read the book, it touches everything. It's not just music. It's a general of the power of thinking. What the mind will allow you to do can stop you from doing if you allow it, but it's more in the positive thinking side. It's a wonderful book.
Right. And positive thinking, your thoughts. I talk about that most episodes. You know, we are our thoughts, and our thoughts direct us. We only experience life through our thoughts. So it's very powerful. Correct. What about another resource? What other resources do you use in your business?
A lot of it is word of mouth. You know, resources. Check this out or check here online. Go online. Go on YouTube. Check this out. See what this one is doing. These are resources that I've used because, you know, the computer age is, you know, I didn't have this when I was growing up. So everything had to be books. But the resources that I use today, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, listening to other people, going out and seeing other bands, going out and see other impersonators. What are they doing that I'm not doing? What am I doing that they're not doing? What can I do to make it better? And these are all the things that I take into consideration. And then from that, I don't want to copy from anyone, but I'll take all those different entities and I'll build it into something of my own. So I can say, hey, at least, you know, I have some originality here. Nobody is doing this, but, you know, it's different. And it seems to be working for me.
Right. Well, as a writer, I believe art inspires art. So whether I'm reading somebody else's work and I'm inspired on something of my own, but I also really like how when you look at paintings or photographs, they can inspire stories or songs and vice versa. I think art always inspires art.
Absolutely. And will never be the same. You will never have the same outcome.
Oh, yeah.
Two people, you know what I mean? Two people
yes.
will never have the same outcome looking at one picture.
You could put 100 people in a room and you could tell everybody
exactly.
to write about the exact same story and it's going to come out completely different.
Exactly. Exactly. And the same thing in music. It's going to come out different. You know, it's your feeling. It's the way it's your feeling. It's your heart.
Yeah. It's what you bring to it. It's your heart, I believe.
It's what you bring out. Yeah.
Okay. So, Johnny, this part of the show, we're going to step it up a little bit. So, you know, at Motivate Me, I'm all about envision, explore, execute. So 1 minute responses. If I was to ask you, how can somebody envision becoming a tribute artist for themselves? What would you tell them to do?
I'd say, first of all, look down deep inside yourself. What is it you want to do? Anything you want to do, whether it want to be music, whether it want to be art, a writer, look deep, feel it. If you feel it, you're going to take it and you're going to do it. If you know you have it, don't be afraid to let it out. You may stumble, but we all did, or we all do. You'll stumble, but you know what? After time, and you're still passionate, you'll get there and you'll
okay.
be happy you did it.
Okay, so what about exploring? What advice would you give them on the exploration front?
Look for ways to make your dream come true. However you choose to do that, like I said, there's a lot of resources out there. If you know you're a musical person, explore it. Go look. Go look at different resources like we just talked about, you know, and put it all together. You'll see, if you keep doing that, you'll see it'll all come together within yourself.
And I bet as far as exploring goes, I bet that you can just look around for places who could benefit. Even if I remember one time because of our karaoke business, they asked us when we were doing Garden State Rehab. It was a rehabilitation facility and we were doing karaoke mm-hmm. there. And they asked, do we know anybody who could do Elvis? So my brother.
Oh, I wish I would have known you.
Yeah. But that might be some place that you can look into actually to see, because, you know, there's a lot of older people there who really
Absolutely.
Love Elvis. And those people, mm-hmm. some of the people there really believed that Elvis was Elvis.
Oh, yeah. I would love to do that. I guess we can, you know, I can get that information from you and we can explore that. And that's, there you go. There's the explorer and there's the
Exactly.
Executor.
Exactly.
Give me information and I'll execute it.
That's right. And execute just means to do what?
Just to go and do it.
Go and
do it. Get out there, find it, grab it, harvest it, and make it all work for you. And put smiles on people's faces. Aside yourself, make people happy. People want to be happy. People are tired of the hustle and bustle of all day working, going to work, come home, working, cook dinner, put the kids to bed, go home, go to work. They want enjoyment in their life, and the arts, and I say that in quotes, all arts, give these people, all people, that opening and makes them happy, to get them away from the realities of real life.
Right. And that's the whole point of this podcast as well, is for people to find this passion within themselves, whatever that is for them, and incorporating it so that they feel this every day in some degree. You know, what's really funny talking to you is you sound, your voice and your accent
yeah.
sounds so much
Uh-oh.
Like, it sounds so much like Vinsanity, who we,
okay.
Yeah. Vin, for the audience, Vinsanity is episode 003. And he does voice impressions, but your actual voice sounds like him. And you and I were discussing Vinny before the interview during
yes,
our chat.
We were.
And tell the audience what you offered for Vinny.
Okay. when I came down here, I ran into some friends that growing up were friends of my sister, and found out that Vinny was actually the nephew of some really good friends. And when they had told me, and this was only a week ago or a week and a half ago, and they told me Vinny, and I vaguely remembered Vinny when I was a kid, because we've been hanging, you know, with the family for this long, coming down here to the shore. And I just couldn't picture him until I saw his picture. I said to his aunt, I said, you know, wouldn't it be great if since Vinny's doing these impersonations and character impersonations, you know, I can use an opening act for my show. Wouldn't it be great if we hooked up? And they said, yeah, give him a call. So I did reach out to Vinny, and he's extremely talented. And so we're in the process. I'm hoping he's listening to this. He can get a lot out of this, because Vinny is the type of person that he knows what he wants to do. He'd like to do it. There's just some drawbacks that Vinny has, you know, which I can open up a door for him, because technology, getting an advertisement for him through PC, the way we work on computers today, equipment and sound and lights, you know, all it would take for Vinny, in his case, how he feels, it would only be a matter of practicing. And you practice, you put a show together. This is what you're going to do, Vin. You're going to take an hour before I come out. You're going to give him the best stick that you have, and you just practice that stick, and you can't fail. There's no way you can fail, because you know what you're going to do, and you'll have the audience eating out of your hands. When you're finished, I'll come, and they'll be doubled. You know, they'll be double happy.
And of course, the purpose for this show is to connect people and to help people move forward with whatever their passion is. So for me, I really hope this works out. I think it's so exciting. I think this opportunity is so exciting for Vinny and for you, and I hope it all works out together for you guys.
Oh, so do I. So do I. And thanks to you, because I really didn't know until I saw Vinny's Facebook about Motivate Me. And once I saw that, and that's when I had reached out to you, and it's like, wow, what a great system to be using to make people that are out there, our listeners or your listeners, that want to take that step and want to do this and want to do that, entertain or write. And you're giving them that opportunity by making them feel more comfortable, letting them hear other people's stories, like Vinny's, myself, and the others that I've heard. And by the way, you've had some great ones this week that I've listened to. You know, it all works. And I think, you know, you're on the right track, Lynette. You know what you got, and it's going to grow. It's going to get bigger. And I saw, you know, you got some milestones that you just passed too. But that's not going to stop there. You're just going to keep going and going and going. And before you know it, you're going to see so many people come out of your Motivate Me show that'll say, wow, you know, it didn't take that much, but whatever Lynette's show showed me pushed me over that border and took that fear from me. And I commend you on that. You did a great thing.
Thank you so much. It really, I have goosebumps right now all over, and it just really makes me feel good when somebody gets me and they understand what my intentions are here. And you absolutely see my vision. And
I get it. I definitely get it.
And if that happens, I will be really, really happy girl. My husband too. You just nailed my life process. When I said, thank you so much. I said, episode 000, here is what I see for myself in 5 years. You just said it. So Johnny, tell us, what do you see for yourself 5 years from now?
Lynette, like I said before, I'm 52 years old. The only thing I see 5 years from now is keep putting smiles on people's faces, doing what I do best, doing what I enjoy. I don't need to be a star. I just want to make people comfortable, enjoy themselves when they go out, and bring them back to a memory of a person or people that they truly loved listening to growing up. And that's basically it.
You say that's basically it, but that, you know, is you're serving, you know, and like when Horatio talked Monday.
Yes.
I think he was.
That was great.
Yeah, he was episode, I think, 5. And, mm-hmm. you know, his whole deal is there's no passion without compassion. And the whole point of his interview was how fulfilling it is to help people. And we serve in all different ways. And for you, it's entertainment.
Yes. And this is how it is with me. Yes. Stevie stuck out in my mind a lot, how he makes a difference and how he pulled himself across to the listeners. Very interesting man.
Yes, he is extremely dynamic. And if you saw him in person, he's beautiful inside and out.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you then, what final advice could you give our listeners?
Listeners out there, go what's within your heart, please. If you believe in yourself, if you believe you can do it, even if you don't, it's hard. I know it's hard if you say to believe in yourself. It's hard to believe in yourself until you know that you're going to be able to do it. So if you feel it deep down and you even get an inkling of what you want to do, look into it. Just, you know, take it apart. I want to do this. I can do this. Just go with what's in your heart. Like I said, you're going to stumble. You may fall a few times, but don't give up, because our greatest weakness lies in giving up.
That's right. Johnny, can you share your contact information? How can people get in touch with you?
Yes. You can get in contact with me on Facebook, which is, I believe, Facebook.com/Johnny Elvis. Okay. And you can email me at Johnny Elvis. And that's not spelled Johnny Elvis. It's Johnny Elvis. So take out the E on Elvis.
And we'll
Johnny
make sure
Elvis at AOL.com.
We will make sure to include your contact information in our show notes as well.
Okay. That would be great. That would be fantastic.
Johnny, it was really, really nice meeting you. You had so many great things to say that I know that listeners are listening, and you know, it would be impossible not to hear how sincere you are and how genuine your feelings are based on, you know, not just what you're doing and how you like to entertain, but also how you're reaching out to other people to give them the encouragement that they need, including me. I greatly, greatly appreciate that.
You're quite welcome. And I believe in, you know, I started somewhere. If somebody needs help, why not? I started. I needed help. I got the help I needed. I'm willing to give the help you need.
Why don't we make that today's go-do, everybody? So for today, your go-do. Figure out what kind of help do you need in order to take your first step, and where would you go to get it? Please post that on Motivate Me Ultimate Support System. Thank you so much, John.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Thank you, Lynette.